This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Hello and welcome to Netflix. And this week we're smashing it out of the park with not one, not two, but three epic episodes for you. Consider it our crowning glory. That's right, because we're celebrating the release of The Crown Season 3, which will drop on Netflix this Sunday. We have everything you will possibly want to know about the new series, so stay tuned for our all-important review.
Barney Kinkle, the only person you're going to scare is yourself!
Charlie! What are you doing?
Keep the noise down.
What are you doing here?
Maze, just in time.
There's a whole load of police here. Don't worry, you're gonna hurt yourself. Or someone else.
How many children are you friends with?
So hello, my name's Helen Daly. I'm the host of Netflix, and I'm here with Neela Debner.
Heya.
And Charlotte Manning.
Hello.
So we're all excited for The Crown, right?
Yes, we are.
Yes, I mean, we've all seen it, but we're all still excited.
Yeah.
So obviously we're picking it up at season three, and it's been all change, I guess, this time around.
Changing for the gods.
Well done.
Right, there we go.
This is the level we're at.
We're ready. Yes, we are.
And so we thought we'd start with a little bit of a recap of season one and two, because I don't know about you guys, but I just, you know, rewatched it all and I just forgot everything that had happened and everything that you kind of need to know about.
Yeah, it seems so long ago. It came out in 2017 as well, so it's like...
2017.
That was season two. When did season one, I think, came out? Was it 2016?
Yeah. And it's just grown into something like enormous now.
Yeah, it's such a large scale. It's great. I love it.
So Charlotte, difficult the one for you, but can you sum up season one for us?
Oh God, so much happened in season one. So... You know, obviously the main focus is we see Elizabeth go from sort of the princess to the queen. That's like that transition's really focused on. And then she has to deal with her relationship with her sister, which obviously goes quite south when she has the affair with Peter Townsend. Thank you. And then we deal with the Queen's relationship with Churchill. Obviously, a lot of his ministers are trying to oust him. So that's quite a key theme of this series. And then we see Anthony Eden step in as PM. And then towards the end of the series, there's the Suez crisis, which goes into season two. And we also look at the Queen and her husband's relationship as well, as she deals with being queen and Prince Philip doesn't seem to always like her being on top.
And we start with a really like pivotal moment, I guess, for not only the crown but history in general, and the death of George the Sixth.
Yeah, so obviously they find out that he's died while they're on tour in Kenya. So it's quite a shock for the queen to have to suddenly deal with becoming queen. She's not really prepared for that. She's only in her mid-20s. She's very young,
very inexperienced, and all of a sudden she's queen now.
Yeah, she's being thrust in this position which she hasn't really had any time to prepare for. Obviously she's started to have more responsibility because the king knows he's ill, he knows he's going to die, and she has that responsibility. She's on a Commonwealth tour, but she hasn't really had any sort of experience in training to be the queen, I suppose. Like, she's, I think a lot of people forget how young she was when she became queen. So, yeah.
And we see her coronation as well, which, you know, it was a big television moment anyway. And
was it the first televised one?
I believe so,
Yeah, it was.
Loads of people bought television sets just for this, if my Doctor Who knowledge serves me right.
There was the whole thing of, like, people having street parties and people would go, there'd be, like, 10, 20 people in one house watching a coronation, so... It was such a big event, like, in history. Yeah.
It's really nice to see it kind of brought to life in the crowd and in such a realistic way, I guess.
Yeah, I think, especially, like, with all the costumes as well, like, she looks incredibly, like, goddess-like. Like, it's, like, do you know what I mean?
It's very, very regal.
Very regal, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
And obviously a big kind of character in history, and you kind of have to tie history and the crown together, is Winston Churchill.
Yes. So... season one looks a lot at, so obviously Churchill comes back, he post-war he was kind of like a war hero, but then doesn't get re-elected after the war, so he comes back in the 50s. A lot of his ministers seem to distance themselves from him. There's obviously a lot of tension there. They want someone younger. They want someone who's more, I guess, I don't really know. I think they, Churchill's kind of coming up to 80. He's very old. He's kind of got like old ideas. And a lot of it seems to be the fact he is this war hero and they're, he's trying to cling on to that, but
he's the old British bulldog, yeah. Isn't he?
So obviously, I think it's more trying to go into a modern Britain, and they want like a younger, new leader. So that's something that's dealt with a lot in the first episode. Mm. Yeah,
and we can't mention the Crown season one without mentioning the dynamics between the Queen and her sister, Princess Margaret, obviously played by Claire Foy and Vanessa Kirby.
Yes,
Princess Margaret's amazing, right?
Yeah, I love. Their portrayal on screen, I think, like, Vanessa Kirby is amazing. Like, I just love the character so much. I think she's really interesting because obviously you see she's quite rebellious. She likes the thing of having all this power and all this privilege, but she doesn't really want the responsibility that comes with it. You kind of see that she doesn't, especially with her relationship with Pete Townsend. Like, she obviously, he's a divorcee. That's kind of not the protocol. So there's that real struggle between the Queen obviously wants to be there for her sister, but she doesn't want to sort of break her, you know, protocol. And it's really difficult, I think, to see them kind of lose that connection because the Queen kind of has to put her role first rather than her relationship with her sister. So it's quite hard to watch, really.
It's really interesting as well because they kind of, in the series, you know, they portray it as a kind of competitiveness on Margaret's side. She is obviously the more confident one and she kind of believes that she would have been the better leader almost. And I think that's something that really continues, especially in season three, which we'll come to in a little bit. But I think the dynamics between them work really well. And, you know, another dynamic that is extremely exciting is Prince Philip and the Queen. Obviously, Prince Philip played by my one true love, Matt Smith.
We love Matt Smith.
We do.
I think Matt Smith was incredible as Prince Philip. Like, I didn't like him so much before. I mean, I watched him in Doctor Who. I wasn't especially keen on him in Doctor Who. I think I was very much like David Tennant. You know, I love David Tennant. But I think in The Crown, I was like, he's so good. Like, because you don't like his character at all. Like, but you also do want to like him because there's something really interesting about his character. Mm. Like, there's definitely that there. But obviously the Queen becomes kind of more powerful than Philip and he doesn't like it. He can't deal with it. He wants to be the man in the relationship. But the Queen obviously is the Queen. So.
Yeah, and I mean, Neela, the dynamics between Claire Foy and Matt Smith in season one and two are just beautiful.
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel really sorry for kind of, you kind of see the Queen's character, it's always a power struggle, whether it's with Margaret, whether it's with Philip, she can never win as a sister, as a wife, as a woman. And it's just, it's fascinating to watch them as kind of characters. And you get that sense of it. And that's what I like about it, that it doesn't feel like you're watching a documentary per se, that you're watching like a drama and you're getting into the characters.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's like a lot of moments in it where you can see Philip really struggle with the thing, like his children can't take his surname. There's like this line I got that's like, he says, am I to be the only man in this country whose wife and children won't take my surname? So it's like he really struggles with that, and you see he gets angry and he kind of has to deal with the fact that he's never going to be as above his wife because of her position.
His role as a man is completely flipped.
Yeah.
And it's because of, she's the Queen. She's not an ordinary woman.
I just feel sorry for her because there's nothing she can do.
No, it's not. It's not her fault.
Yeah, she doesn't, she like doesn't want to. Like, she's more than happy for him to be like the head of the household and stuff, but she's the head of the country. Yeah. It's a little bit different.
A little bit different.
And you do see quite a lot of tension between them, obviously. A lot has been made of the kind of infidelity rumors throughout.
Yeah, so it's kind of obviously kind of shown in the show that there is definitely that tension there, because towards the end of season one you see the Queen, like, I don't think she really knows what to do. She's kind of hearing all this stuff, and so she sends Philip away to Australia for the Olympic Games, and he kind of knows he's in trouble. But I think obviously nothing explicit is ever said, but the show obviously suggests things, and you know, viewers can make up their own minds about what they think's gone on. But it's definitely a thing to address. Like,
Yeah, and I mean, obviously it is a drama, you know, we can't tell what is true and what is false, but it is certainly exciting, dramatic
scenes. It's great viewing, very dramatic scenes.
Definitely. So that obviously leads us quite nicely into season two. Philip heads out on tour. So he takes a tour around Australia and the Antarctic, and the trip kind of comes at that make and break point for Philip and the Queen. They're having, you know, really difficult discussions where they don't really know kind of where the future lies for them. And, you know, you get really interesting dynamics between them. You have the Queen is left at home with the kids and she's getting little snippets of information back. And she's constantly thinking, you know, what's Philip doing? What's Philip doing? Mm. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, he's having a great time.
Yeah,
like, you know, he's dancing with the penguin.
Yeah.
He's having a lovely time. So I thought that was a really interesting way to start the season, actually, have them completely apart.
Yeah, I think obviously because the tension built right up at the end of season one. So you see them really kind of almost in conflict with each other. So to have them apart and see their own kind of views on what's going on, maybe kind of like different point of view, it's really interesting. Like it really, I think it helps kind of learn more about each character as well and what they're feeling. So I think that was a really good thing to do.
Yeah, the Queen, I think really she comes into her own at this point because she kind of doesn't have that, you know, support from Philip while he's away because, you know, she just can't communicate with him.
Yeah.
You know, you have that scene where it's very difficult for her to talk to him. And I think this is, for me, this was like the turning point where she really started to become the kind of queen that we know and love today, the really strong leader who makes up her own mind, I think.
Yeah.
It really happens in season two. And another kind of thing that really kind of crosses between seasons one and two is the Suez crisis, as you've mentioned. You know, we have Anthony Eden, who's trying to deal with it, and the Queen's trying to deal with him dealing with it.
And his health as well.
And his health. And it's a very, very complex scene. And if you're not really aware of the Suez crisis, you're just kind of watching thinking, what was going on here? But I think that's kind of the point. Like, what was going on?
I think, maybe that is it. Because I think if you actually look back at it, it was very complicated. I don't think anyone really knew what was going on. And obviously, you mentioned Anthony Eden's health. You see in, like, season one as well, like, we don't really know what he's dealing with, but he... He has this whole thing at Winston Churchill, oh, you're not healthy, you're old, you know, like there's a whole thing about ill health and he's clearly struggling with his health as well. So
they're just keeping like this litany of illnesses under the radar so no one knows what's going on.
Yeah, they're all being very stoic and then they all end up having to go to the Queen and be like, I'm really sorry.
Not very well.
Yeah, like, I'm going to take some time off, like whatever.
And so I guess what about, we have more of kind of Philip as well when he comes back and you've got kind of more kind of assertions of things going on that aren't quite right.
Yeah, so the probably one of the best things about kind of modern Britain is the Profumo scandal. I'm obsessed with it. And obviously they're making a documentary, a drama for the BBC, which is going to be really exciting.
Was it the trial of Christine Keeler?
Yeah. So, yeah, very basically, there was a sexual relationship between Secretary for State of War John Profumo and model Christine Keeler. And it threw the government into chaos because there was a whole kind of allegation of spying and a lot of stuff. one man took his own life as a result of being wrapped up with it. Very, very huge scandal. And the drama in The Crown comes from their suggestion that Prince Philip was somehow involved as a mystery man. It's never really made explicit, and it's been constantly denied by, you know, Buckingham Palace in real life. However, it is an interesting kind of dramatic situation because here in the series you have the Queen and Prince Philip's already tense relationship made a little bit more tense, and they kind of have a showdown about it where she eventually just has to say to him, were you there?
Yeah.
And he says, no, no, absolutely not. And with Matt Smith's performance, you never know.
Yeah.
You really never know. He doesn't give anything away. And that's, you know, to his credit, it's incredible. But yeah, it's definitely one of the more exciting episodes of the season, I would say. It's a really, really exciting one.
It does. There is definitely a play on their relationship. And in the show, they're kind of like, oh, we kind of let, kind of look the other way when things happen. And an interesting thing of, because they never, in the show, they never want to get divorced, so they kind of,
there is a deep love there, like it's it's very clear
they have a complex relationship though.
Very, very complex. And it's probably complicated by the crown and the title. Yeah. But it makes for interesting drama, certainly.
Very interesting drama.
So I guess it kind of, the Profumo scandal is mentioned at the start of kind of season three. And again, that whole idea of the kind of mystery man and stuff. And I guess, so this season, it's going to be covering the period of 1964 to 1977. And it's really dense again. over 10 hours, expect lots of drama and lots of things to happen. But it's really interesting because you've got a new cast this season, but you have all these kind of like parallels to previous seasons and kind of you've got stuff mirroring other things, which I think is brilliant on Peter Morgan's part. So there's a lot of symmetry this season if you kind of look out for it. So I guess in terms of the events that they're going to be covering, there's going to be the Cambridge spy ring scandal. So that's where it kind of all kicks off.
So I didn't really know too much about this. And I found myself, obviously, we will say spoiler alert, if you don't want you don't want to know the history. I found myself Googling this one, actually. Tell us a bit about it.
So basically, there were these men were kind of revealed to have been kind of Soviet spies working for the Russians during World War II up until the early 1950s. And it was only just kind of exposed now. And so you had the one that's explored in The Crown, again, spoiler, Anthony Blunt, who's kind of unmasked as this kind of Russian operative. And he also just happens to be the surveyor of the Queen's pictures at Buckingham Palace.
Great. Just so happens.
So there's this whole kind of, in the show, there's this whole kind of cover up and the Queen's like fuming about it. But they kind of just have to accept it because it would look really bad on like the Queen and the royal family for help. How could this happen within their doors kind of thing? So I'm really kind of, I wanted to know more about it basically. But that's kind of the gist of that. So yeah.
And it's a really great way to start the season, like properly meaty political
straight
drama
in there.
And the Queen's faced with like a huge decision. It's do you get rid of this guy and expose everything to the public, because obviously the media would get hold of it
straight away,
or do you keep it hidden?
I think we can see stuff coming out later on about that. I don't think that's gonna kind of stay underground. We kind of know from history that it'll all be exposed, so we can maybe expect that from season four.
Spoiler. And one of the really exciting episodes I personally thought was Princess Margaret's visit abroad.
I love that. So that was in 1965. So basically Margaret and Lord Snowden, played by Ben Daniels, are kind of on this kind of informal American tour when the Queen is like, I need you to do me a favor. And then it's kind of Margaret's time to kind of step up. And so she has to go to the White House and meet with President Lyndon B. Johnson and try and secure a deal for the IMF to bail out Britain, basically, because they're heavily in debt. And it's just kind of about that. And it's so interesting because it's her time to shine and this whole kind of rivalry, it's continuing. And this is her moment. And she does deal with it in an interesting way, as you were saying. Like the whole kind of, she wants the power and stuff, but she's so reckless with it.
Yeah, she wants the popularity as well. And I think that's really interesting. Like, she's clearly popular with the Americans, the Americans love the royal family today, don't they?
Yeah. So it's probably because of her experience there, but it comes so naturally to her. Mm. She's such a people person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently she did also fall out with people. So I feel like we don't see enough of that. We just kind of see the raucous fun, the kind of limericks.
the limericks.
The drinking contests, all of those kind of things. Even her like singing and stuff, which is just so in contrast with the Queen, which I love.
That I think was one of my favourite episodes actually of season three. And it was literally for one scene where the Queen says to Margaret, she asks her to go and do this favour for her. And Margaret says, no, I'm going to go to New York. It's Anthony's launch.
Yeah.
And she says, I'm not asking as your sister anymore, I'm asking as your queen. And I was like, oh. If you could pull the queen card, you would pull the queen card hard. Every day.
That's amazing though.
And you know, it also, the series does have its incredible highs, like these parties, but it also does have incredible heartbreaking scenes.
Yeah. So the kind of episode three, I think, is going to be one of the most poignant ones. So it covers the Aberfan disaster of 1966, which basically saw a towering mountain of waste from a colliery basically collapse on a Welsh mining village because of excessive rain. And it was just heartbreaking because the local junior school, Pantglass Junior School, was hit the hardest when it was just completely engulfed in this slurry. And a total of 144 people were killed, and 116 of these were children. And it's just, it is so hard to watch. And in the series, you'll see kind of how the Queen responds to it and how she kind of has a delayed response where she doesn't feel like it's right for the royal family to show up. And then kind of eventually going, and it's all also about the Queen and whether she can show emotion and what's etiquette and royal protocol and that kind of thing.
Yeah, she's kind of, she kind of feels she has to, because Lord Snowdon visits, Prince Philip visits, and everyone's telling her, you don't know until you go, really. Yeah. And she goes, and there's that really kind of poignant moment where she's expected to cry, and you see her, because she's not really about that. She's a little bit more stoic than that, but... I mean, you know, you've said it already. It's brutal. It's really, really horrible to watch.
Yeah.
But I think it is also an important one. It's an important turning point for the Queen.
I think so. And I think I think the producers of The Crown should be commended for covering Aberfan. I think it's such an important thing that we can't kind of forget and we should remember. And I think they've done it justice, I would say. And I mean, also the Queen's relationship with this event is very interesting, because a title card at the end says this was the one thing that was like her biggest regret. I mean, we don't know if that's true or not, but she visited four times in total, more than any other member of the royal family. So that speaks volumes, I think.
Definitely. And yeah. There is also the tragedy with the death of the Duke of Windsor.
Yes. So he's kind of been painted as the villain, hasn't he, throughout kind of The Crown?
Yeah, for sure. Especially in season one as well.
Yes.
The whole drama with him coming back when his brother died, he wasn't kind of greeted with warm arms, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, he is hated by them pretty much, because it's like, you're the reason why I'm on the throne and this and that kind of thing. And then finally we see kind of his last days and how he's kind of perishing, a bit like his brother, actually. Mm. I noticed there were definitely parallels there. Mm. So that was really interesting. And obviously you've got Sir Derek Jacobi playing him this time, and just living in exile in Paris. So there are some interesting moments. Like, so he passed away in 1972. And then there's a moment with him and the Queen where they have a chat. And then it's almost like a moment of kind of forgiveness for what's happened. And that was really interesting, I thought. And then really weirdly, as I was saying about these parallels, you've got Prince Charles and the Duke of Windsor. And suddenly there's this kind of mirroring of like, Charles could be the new Duke of Windsor. Mm. The one to like upset the apple cart. So there's a lot going on there. There's a lot Peter Morgan is setting up for season four, I think.
And you see that in Prince Charles's investiture.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because he breaks he doesn't break protocol, but he says things in Welsh, thinking that his mother won't find out what he said. And she takes him to task over it, but he does kind of fight back.
She's always going to find out. Like, she knows everything.
Yeah, she knows everything.
Again, he goes off script a bit and kind of spurs a little bit of Welsh nationalism.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah. It's really, really interesting to see Charles growing up, because you really don't see much of the kids in season one and two.
No, not at all. I think that's something I really noticed, is that the first two seasons explore a lot the kind of the Queen with her sister, the Queen with her husband, but not with her kids. And then you see that more in season three, which is really good. And then season four definitely will show that,
because you see a lot of Anne as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, she's so sassy. I love her. Really, really love her. I guess the other stuff that kind of comes up, which I had no idea about, was Lord Mountbatten's apparent coup to take down the elected, democratically elected.
Did not know about this.
Yeah, I was just going to take down the Wilson government.
Why not?
As you do.
Yeah, really, really interesting scenes. And again, it brings out some really, really tense moments between the Queen and Lord Mountbatten.
Yeah, I'm just flabbergasted. I need to know more about the history of it. But apparently along with Cecil King, who was this industrialist, and a load of others, they were going to launch their own kind of government with Lord Mountbatten at the head, which would have been crazy. But luckily the Queen came in. Save the day.
Yep. Sorted it out.
And this season is not without controversy. There yes. has been huge rumblings already through the media about the Queen's supposed affair.
Mm. So basically, there are kind of insinuations in the show that there was something going on between her and her racing manager, Lord Porchester, also known as Porchy, because they were visiting the stables together abroad, and Philip wasn't that happy. I mean, you never see anything. It's all very much, it's very much subtext, isn't it? You have to read into it kind of thing. So, I mean, people have kind of spoken out about it and are angry about it with, there's no evidence at all. I mean, there is no evidence to support these kind of rumours and things. And even the Queen's former press secretary, Dickie Arbiter, came out and was just like, it's very distasteful and totally unfounded. So that's going to definitely get people talking and probably Googling, but we just don't know here, like, what's real and what's not, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and, you know, they've kind of said that it's research-based, but then there's no research for
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
So there is, like, a very fine line, I guess. You're not supposed to take this as fact, I don't
exactly,
think.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not an accurate history. Obviously, it is a drama. Like, yeah. you have to
that's really
have
important
some
to
drama in
that
it.
That it is a drama, and
yeah.
things will be dramatised, like, to make for more interesting watching.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
We don't know 100% what is real and what isn't, but then it makes a good drama, so.
Well, exactly, exactly.
That's what you need. Somehow.
And it's got people talking.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Exactly. I guess the other big thing that we should probably talk about is Charles and Camilla.
She's here.
Yeah, she's here. Emerald Fennell is brilliant. She does look...
She's the double of Camilla.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And yeah, I really like her. I want to see more of her. Mm. Also, very sympathetic towards Charles.
Mm.
Yeah, which you wouldn't expect, would you?
Yeah. I feel like he kind of, unfortunately, he's kind of been portrayed as a bit of a maverick, I think, in the media and things like that. But actually, you kind of see him as like a youngster and what he's trying to achieve and stuff, and you do actually sympathize with him a lot.
Yeah, it would be easy to portray him as the maverick, I guess, but you know, Peter Morgan's obviously gone for the different kind of route and said
yeah.
you basically kind of see that the royal family together, it's not just the Queen, they split Charles and Camilla up, they deem her not acceptable.
Mm.
And there's a big kind of love quadrangle.
Yeah, so the quadrangle is Princess Anne, Andrew Parker Bowles, Camilla Shand at the time, and Prince Charles.
Yeah. And they all kind of team together and they're like, this cannot happen.
Yeah.
And Anne's really chill about it. She's like, you're fine.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Like, you're fine. And then they set up the marriage of Camilla and Andrew.
And it's all very, again, we don't know what's fact, what's yeah. fiction. It's all kind of, there's been a bit of controversy about this as well, but we just don't know what's real or not. But in the show, Lord Mountbatten and the Queen Mother kind of plot to tear these young lovers apart.
Yeah, because the Queen is like, well, it's fine. Like, he's, you know, he's found someone. What's wrong with it? And then they're like, you don't know the full story. You don't know everything.
Yeah. And that's basically how that goes down. So, I mean, like, what did you guys think about the cast for this new series?
I love the cast. I love the cast for season one and two, and like, I think they've done so well because it's obviously rare for a show to change its cast midway through. So like, there's obviously a lot of effort that's been put into casting the right people, and like, I love Olivia Colman so much. Like,
yeah, I was really nervous because I thought, how can they kind of top Claire Foy, Matt Smith et al? You know, you just kind of think it's not going to be possible, and then Olivia Colman, like, obviously we've talked about this, Neela, she nails the voice. Like, she's got it down,
so good.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God.
And, you know, she's constantly, she has that kind of face that she can show how stoic she is, but you can still see the tears and the emotion.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, really important kind of feature, especially when, you know, the Queen is faced with Aberfan and various other tragedies, that, you know, she does have that ability to stay strong and stand tall.
She did find it hard, though. I read in a recent interview that was the hardest thing to do. For her to kind of like not show the emotion, like how the Queen isn't allowed to, and as just a woman, for her as an actress, it was super hard doing those scenes.
Yeah, because you don't want to seem like a robot, and you can see the emotion there. And obviously they do play on it, you know, behind closed doors. She is, you know, a little bit more emotional. Mm. But it's really interesting to see the way that Olivia kind of acts. You can see that there's a definite growing up from Claire Foy's Queen.
Mm. I think so. And I mean, like, but the only thing I kind of had was that because Olivia Colman is so lovable and so smiley and stuff, so sometimes when she smiles, I'm just like, it kind of feels like it almost like breaks a little bit. I feel you can kind of see her kind of seeping out through the cracks of like trying to be the queen.
I started the series thinking, ooh, like, are they going to go down a kind of comical queen route? Because obviously Olivia Colman is a fantastic comedy actress. But then, you know, it started and then, you know, they hit Aberfan quite soon on.
Yeah.
And then you realise, oh, actually, it's fine. It's in safe hands.
She has done a lot of drama as well, though.
Mm.
Like Broadchurch, which is incredibly emotional as well. And I think she's just very versatile. Like, I obviously watched her first in, like, Peep Show and stuff, where she's hilarious. But I think she nails the queen really well.
And what about Philip?
I like Tobias Menzies. I've seen him in Outlander and Game of Thrones. I kind of felt the script didn't serve him as well. He didn't have anything really meaty. He had his midlife crisis, but I felt that was too wishy-washy and he needed something a lot stronger. And I feel that the performance that he gave was really good, but I was waiting for a bit more. I don't know what you guys thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's great, but I think I'd agree with you in the sense that he probably could have been more deserving of something a bit more solid. And
I found him quite, like, you know, like a good safe pair of hands.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he nailed the accent. He looked like Prince Philip. He'd had the gestures down. But as I say, that is really it.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, perhaps the script didn't serve him well on this occasion. Mm. Maybe it will in season 4.
I hope so.
I'm not sure about the history of Philip, to be honest, what's going to come up in the following years. But it would be nice to see more from him, from Tobias, because I think he really does seem like he's got it down.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, he does have some really lovely scenes with kind of his mother, Princess Alice. But again, I think she almost kind of, she's such a fascinating character that you want to know more about her.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd agree. He was always there in the background to make it believable, is what I found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wish he had that episode that everyone else seemed to have.
Yeah, and it, like, something where he could come out more on his own and be like, this is my story kind of thing, rather than being a bit to the side a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, there was only one person who could really take over from Vanessa Kirby.
Yeah.
As Princess Margaret. Helena Bonham Carter.
She is brilliant.
I love her.
Obviously.
She's great.
It's like we don't even need to discuss it. She's just brilliant.
Yeah. Well, she did. It's weird because obviously she played the Queen Mother, which is Princess Margaret's mum, in The King's Speech.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. So it's almost like, it's kind of like, oh, she's now going to play like
Margaret.
Yeah. Exactly. But no, she is great. She gives that kind of fun-loving, free spirit that the Queen can't be.
But also that kind of explosive emotion,
yeah,
that we see later on,
and a bit reckless, and
yeah,
a bit
she really
unpredictable,
nails it.
Yeah,
she really does, because yeah, she's unpredictable when she's happy, and she's unpredictable when she's sad, and it's a kind of important kind of mix to show, I think, with Margaret,
and that is like that contrast between the early kind of her having fun with LBJ, and then to her, I won't say too much, but towards the end, like how that kind of transformative effect that she goes from such a high to such a low, that is impressive on her part.
And the kids as well.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah, the younger cast members are great. I really like Josh O'Connor.
I mean, they're not really kids now, are they? They're grown people. Yeah, Josh O'Connor as Charles, he really, really nails it. It's interesting to see, as we've said, you know, previously, like a completely different side to the character.
Mm. Yeah, no, I really like it. And I think they're going to kind of take the lead more. It's weird. It is going to be them kind of taking over a bit more. I think we're going to see less of the Queen and less of Philip.
I think so. I think you're right. I think obviously, like, there's pictures of filming. Season 4's filming at the moment. Like, there's a lot of Josh O'Connor and I can't remember who's playing Princess Diana.
It's Emma Corrin, I think.
Yeah. But there's a lot of pictures of them. So I think there's definitely going to be a lot more focus on the children as they get older and they've got more responsibility. And
which kind of does echo real life.
It does,
you know, you see the Queen is kind of passing.
She steps back a bit
on some responsibilities to Charles and the rest. But I thought it was really, really interesting to see such a young but kind of a young actor with old eyes. Like, we always use that to kind of describe Doctor Who and stuff. But yeah, no, and Anne as well. Really liked Anne. Quick word for her.
And I guess, yes, she's just brilliant. She's just so kind of... She doesn't take anything from anyone. She'll just say what she's on her mind because she knows that she's not going to be... She's not going to become the kind of ruler of...
Yeah, she's not going to be queen. Yeah. She can have a bit more fun with it, relax a bit, I guess. Like, she's not got so much pressure on her like maybe Charles does. Or
Which is why they're horrified when they find out she's been kind of playing away with Andrew Parker Bowles.
And so just final thoughts, I guess. We loved it, didn't we?
Yeah.
We properly loved it.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, when it comes out,
watch it.
Yeah, watch it and watch it again.
So that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us for our chat about The Crown Season 3. Thanks, Neela, and thanks, Charlotte.
Thank you.
And if you liked what you heard from us, please make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at NetflixPod and get involved with the debate. And don't go too far, as tomorrow we're going to have another Crown special for you, which is all about the fashion of the gorgeous Netflix series. We'll see you then.